Welcome to Sipping Success, the ultimate podcast for all things beverage and alcohol. We're here to quench your thirst for insights, analysis, and a splash of entertainment. Get ready to dive into the world of beverages with us. From the latest trends to in-depth discussions with industry leaders, we've got it all covered. Whether you're a connoisseur or a curious sipper, Sipping Success is your go-to guide. Join us as we uncork knowledge, raise a glass to innovation, and help you elevate your brand to new heights. So grab your favorite drink, sit back, and let's sip success together. Tune in to Sipping Success and drink in the wisdom. Cheers.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of the Sipping Success podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson, and we have Matt Brune here with us. He is the CEO of Craft Standard, and Craft Standard is the new category standard in premium ready-to-draft on-premise cocktails. It is the only product in the market that is compatible with the Sankey D coupler system that is used to serve all draft beer in all of U.S. bars and restaurants. So Matt, thanks for joining us. Really looking forward to today's conversation here with you. And to get us started, as you know, our audience, it's all kind of food and beverage, wine and spirits, professionals. Mm-hmm. So we're really interested to hear a little bit more about your background and what brought you to ultimately Craft Standard.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Firstly, appreciate the time. I started in the alc beverage business in 2003, mm-hmm. joined Diageo in Australia in the marketing group. I really enjoyed the industry, spirits, especially in the early days of Diageo's formation. It was a really exciting time to be in the industry. And I spent 12 years working for Diageo in Asia Pacific as well as Australia. And then eventually I moved to the US with them, where I got the opportunity to be leader of the Smirnoff brand on a global basis out of the New York office. I also did some work on some other brands in the US for Diageo. So that was pretty cool. I left the industry for a little bit and I returned to Australia. But I got the itch to get back into the US market and alc beverages. So I joined the Pabst Brewing Company, where I was the president and general manager of that business for about 3.5 years. And then in May of 2021, I decided to go out and invest and advise and support new ideas in beverage. I kind of had... led a beer business through COVID, and that was a pretty relentless and tiring experience. So I wanted to kind of explore entrepreneurialism for a bit. Mm-hmm. I came across the inventors and founders of Craft Standard in May, June-ish of 21. And I thought the concept was pretty novel. Having been in spirits for many years, we'd attempted draft cocktails. We understood its value to the industry. Obviously, speed of service, quality of cocktail, consistency was an important factor in the expansion of cocktails. So, at Diageo, we'd experimented with draft cocktails in many markets, in particular markets where bartending was not a strong profession. So I was curious around the concept. And then what really piqued my interest was that it was compatible with the existing beer systems in the US. Because one of the things that I really struggled to operationalize and scale draft cocktails on a spirits front, it was usually came with additional infrastructure. So a bar was somewhat hesitant to trial it because it required new lines. Mm-hmm. Whereas Craft Standard basically hooks straight into the existing beer taps. So I really was kind of optimistic about the business, and I invested personally with a group of others in sort of July of 2021. And then like a lot of people who found ventures in the alcohol business, or in the beverage business, they quickly realized that it's harder than they think. You know, 3-tier system, distributors, laws, beer, spirits. There's a lot of complications. So in January of 22, myself and the head of sales began running the business directly, helping support its growth. And it's been just almost 2 years since then. And we've taken it really towards, you know, total product market acceptance. I mean, in the last 2 years, we've now drafted over 10 million cocktails in the US.
Oh, wow.
And we'll do, we could do close to 7 million, well, 6.5-7 million cocktails this year alone. And we've found product market fit in the US, in particular within stadiums. We have a lot of Major League Baseball stadiums, okay. NFL stadiums, NBA stadiums, where there's a huge influx of people. And the bar, people behind the bar, you know, don't do that for a living. They're coming in as casual staff. That really works. The other vertical that's really proven hugely successful is amusement parks, zoos, Knott's Berry Farm and those places. Where, you know, traditionally it's been, you know, a beer and a dog or whatever it is. But as people have become cocktail curious, These locations just don't have the infrastructure or the staff to offer margaritas. And suddenly we come along and boom, margaritas are on tap for all your amusement park people. So that's been the journey. It's been a very interesting one to kind of get people's head around conceptually drafting cocktails and then appreciating the benefits of it.
Okay. Very interesting. And I've before even this conversation or this interview, I've always wondered, kind of bringing my own biases to the forefront here, just in my travels throughout the United States, call it the last like 6 or 7 years, I've noticed there's a lot more cocktails on draft. I'm on the West Coast, just in Los Angeles, and yeah. I've noticed there's a lot more cocktails on draft. It seems like kind of in the middle part of the country and in like the East Coast. Is that bias? Is that true? Or are you all, you know, kind of evenly going at the US map?
Yeah. So we have national coverage. We have 85 distributors. So we're pretty much a national, we're national footprint. California is a huge market for us. Petco Park in San Diego. Okay. It's like our top five customer, and Knott's Berry Farm is a top five customer as well. It's fair to say there's not that many independent up and down street businesses in the West Coast yet to fully adopt it.
Okay.
Whereas in the Midwest and East, there's a lot more sort of up and down street business bars that are kind of taking it on board. But yeah, there's it's a pretty good major location adoption in California. It really will take, you know, when you're creating something that doesn't exist, this isn't a red ocean, this is a blue ocean play, right? Scattery didn't exist and we're creating it. You know, we think it takes a lot of time before it becomes industry standard. You know, I think eventually in 10 years from now, we'll look back and go, why did we ever hand make a margarita? This makes no sense. It's like, you can't hand make, you know, rum and Coke. If you want a Captain and Coke, it's a pour and splash the gun soda, right? It's not like someone's shaking up a cola nut with soda and sugar syrup. This is ridiculous. So, you know, where the margarita is headed is really into that sort of Jack and Coke, rum and Coke kind of space. So I do eventually think that there's a confluence of two things. One is cocktail culture continues to be on the rise, and two, draft beer continues to be on the fall. Mm-hmm. And there's 1.5 million draft lines in America, of which probably 10% are unused and about 20% are inefficient because they're pouring beers that don't flow freely. So there's a lot of taps, there's a lot of infrastructure that exists in the US that once this becomes an industry standard, get turned over to being drafted cocktails.
Very interesting. And so, as you mentioned, you got your start in 2021. Are there any particular, even from that starting point up until now, are there any particular changes that you've had to adapt to?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly adapting and flowing from the functionality of the system itself. The uniqueness of the craft standard system is that the keg arrives to the venue in a non-alc form and has a 30-litre keg with 10 litres of headspace in it. And then you add a device that opens and depressurizes the keg and allows you to funnel a funnel system to put the spirits in. We call it a spiker because it spikes the keg. That device itself is patented, but we've updated that several times. We're at version 4 to kind of make that work. We've learned a lot of things around what drinks really sell, how unique you make the drinks, how people buy things, how do you get draft handles right, you know, how do you merchandise effectively, who's the best product market fit, who's the customer base, how do you get someone to say yes for a trial, how do you then roll it out to more locations. We've learned a lot, man.
Yeah. What are, I guess we'll start in one area we may all be interested in. What are the most popular drinks that are being served?
Margarita is number one.
Yeah.
Margarita, Long Island iced tea, mojitos. Okay. You know, it's the big boppers, man. Like we're a cheeseburger. You know, we're not a filet mignon. We're a delicious everyday, you know, cheeseburger from Quarter Pounder from McDonald's or a Shake Shack cheeseburger, right? So it's the big boppers. It's the brand. It's the drinks that everyone knows, everyone loves, everyone wants for a reasonable price to be delicious every time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is for sure. And so, it kind of interesting that you all are targeting, like, say, amusement parks and stadiums. How did you develop that line of business? Was it kind of happenstance or? It seems to actually make a ton of sense, right?
Yeah, no, it was definitely strategic. So you think about what drafting offers. It offers speed, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It offers staffing support because the staff don't have to have any, you know, if they can pull a handle, they can make a margarita. So, you know, where it needs to be fast and where the staff is lower skilled than someone's working full-time in a bar. That's when we add also the advantage of no waste. So a free pour handle, someone free pours spirits, you know, 20 to 30% of that bottle could go into over pours. When you draft a cocktail, you waste no spirits. So when we looked at the marketplace, we considered the locations that product advantage would be most desired, and those larger stadiums, amusement parks, most make sense. The next wave of business for drafting will come from fast casual. So from the Buffalo Wild Wings, the Chili's, the Applebee's, the Margaritavilles, the Twin Peaks, the old Chicago's of the world, you know, these beer centric fast casuals that want to get into cocktails, want to do it efficiently. That's where the next wave of growth is going to come from as well.
And do you see that coming up, starting up this year, or what are the kind of the latest developments on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're already in almost 30 Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
And, you know, just I think it's like 10 of them in Florida. They're doing extraordinarily well. Yeah, we think, you know, the back end of this year, fast casual adoption's coming along, and 2024 we'll see pretty significant increase. I mean, we're a pretty low in terms of market penetration. We're still pretty low. As much as 7 million drinks is a great number, don't get me wrong. You know, we're not 10% of the handles in America. I mean, we're barely, you know, 0.5%, right? So we're still small. We're still growing the category. So the penetration opportunity is still huge.
This podcast is brought to you by Mushroom Media, the go-to digital media agency for all things marketing. From crafting captivating campaigns to decoding social media sorcery, Mushroom Media is here to empower your brand and help you scale. So whether you're brewing, distilling, or concocting the next big thing, Mushroom Media has a solution for you.
Can you speak maybe a little bit more in depth of like, how are you measuring success right now? And again, we're not necessarily looking for any sort of number or anything like that, but generally speaking, how is your team measuring success for the business?
I would say how a traditional beverage brand measures success, sales.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, it's just that simple sometimes, right?
I mean, you got to sell kegs to stay alive, right? We're a startup, we're only 2 and a bit years young, we've got to raise capital, and you got to sell kegs. I mean, you got to prove to investors that there is a product market fit, and you got to prove that you can execute against it. I mean, so keg sales is number one criticality, and kegs equal drinks. And the only way you get keg sales is if you sign up more customers. So
yeah,
customer acquisition, you know, equals keg sales. So they're your two primary metrics.
And so just out of curiosity, do you all feel like you're at a point now, 2.5 years along, do you feel confident like you've proved the concept? I mean, your stories of 30 Buffalo Wild Wings and all these great well-known stadiums. Do you all feel very confident in that?
Yeah, I think the thesis that was established the company, which is, you know, the industry could do with a more efficient, more effective, more consistent way of pouring common drinks. I'd say that's the core thesis of this company. Mm-hmm. We've proven that thesis to be true. We've proven that there is a marketplace for this. We've also proven it's really hard. And it's a lot of grind to convert behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You've been making cocktails the same way for 50 years. Pour, shake, over ice, and then pour it, you know, into a glass. To change behaviors to say, now this comes out of a tap.
Yeah.
So theoretically, this market opportunity exists. It's proven. But between getting the theory's proven, but then getting it into execution, it's hard because you're fighting against the paradigms of the past, right?
Years or more, yeah, that headwind for sure. Yeah. And then I got to believe there's, again, going back to kind of the restaurants that you're in, on the cost savings alone, I mean, are some of these local franchisee owners just gobbling your product up? Are they really loving you?
Yeah, there are some real franchise owners that are mindful of the consumer behavioral shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Buffalo Wild Wings franchise owner or anyone that's principally a beer-centric franchise, and consumers have moved to cocktails very aggressively, if you're smart and focused, you're wanting to get into cocktails without having to retrain or reappoint your entire staff base, right? So there are some very good, smart operators that understand the volumetric and consumer satisfaction benefit of doing this. And they're the guys that are winning, you know? So, yeah, I think gobbling it up would be nice, but I'm not sure that that's happening. I think it's still venue by venue, bar by bar, manager by manager. We convince them and we show them and we get them to test it. They test it. Their consumer satisfaction is through the roof, and they roll with it. And then hopefully in the next 5 years, it is the industry standard. It is the way you would expect a margarita to be sold, a Long Island iced tea to be sold, a mojito to be sold, right? But we're not there yet. I mean, we're still inventing a marketplace, not having it become the commonplace, right?
Mm-hmm. And then can you discuss any partnerships or collaborations that have helped you grow the business?
Any partnerships that help us grow the business?
Yeah, or well, in if there's not, that's fine. But just curious, if there's any collaborations or partnerships that have maybe have helped you since.
Yeah. I think the Lighthouse accounts, these Petcos, the Fenways,
mm-hmm.
Keeneland Racetrack, for example, was an early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
I think those big early movers that created significant volume were an important part of our future messaging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd say that rather than partnership, them and they are partnerships, they are partners, definitely. But they're the ones that really opened up people's, like if Keeneland Racetrack can do 40 taps and, you know, this many drinks over a race meet, that's a proof of success, right? So these proof points helped us generate future appeal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, telling that story, it was probably key to, you know, early sales success. Well, we've been talking with Matt Bruhn here, CEO of Craft Standard, and you've been listening to the Sipping Success podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. We're about towards our end of the podcast episode here. Enjoyed talking with you, Matt. Last couple questions for you. So to start off the last couple questions, what sort of advice would you give somebody looking to be an entrepreneur in the spirits space, like you made that decision? It could be like a younger version of yourself or somebody seeking advice on being an entrepreneur in this field.
Oh, wow. That's a broad question. There's a lot of answers to that.
Yeah.
But right now, given the state of capital markets, the number one thing I would tell any founder, entrepreneur is be capital conservative.
Okay.
Any capital you get, treat it very carefully. You have to be very smart in the way you use money at the moment. Because if you go back to 2019, 2020, 2021, raising the startup beverages was, I'm not going to say easy, but was a lot easier than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is less money to be had. And in a market constrained like it is, you better put every dollar to use. So, you know, I would say that. Mm-hmm. And I would say that just because it's a good idea doesn't mean it's going to end up as a big business.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of good ideas I've seen to go to market in the last 5 years that are brands that, or businesses that are no longer in business. And that's not because the idea was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's because between the idea and the execution is a mile of runway. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to have ideas. It's extraordinarily hard to have the tenacity, the determination to take a small amount of capital and apply it on a daily basis to make sure that you get the results and the business that you wished you had. So that's what I would say. And the someone said something to me the other day, which was quite interesting. A third of your day is good, a third of it is meh, and a third of it sucks. That's never such a truer word when it comes to, you know, being in startups and entrepreneurialism. There are spikes of your day which you feel like you'll never lose, and this thing's going to the moon. And then there's a third of your day where you're like, oh, I'm going broke.
Yeah.
and going through that cycle of feeling it, it's just how it is. And I think once you come to terms with that being your reality, it's a little better.
Yeah. But anyway. Well, we all hope at the end of the day, everybody, including yourself, at least can get a good night's sleep, right? So that part's important. But very well said. Very well said, and great advice. And last question for you, Matt, is if anybody wanted to reach out to you, whether it be with a question or they could be a potential partner or whatnot, how would they go about getting a hold of you?
Hey, just follow me on LinkedIn. It's Matt Bruhn. Just hit me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty good with my responses on that system.
Okay, great. Well, it certainly has been enjoyable to talk with you and learn more about your business, Craft Standard. So again, we've been talking with Matt Bruhn. Wonderful episode here of Sipping Success Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. That wraps us up for now. Matt, again, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. And until next time.
Thanks, Casey. See you guys.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Sipping Success, brought to you by Mushroom Media. We hope our discussions have left you thirsting for more knowledge in the world of beverages and alcohol. Stay connected with us on social media for updates. And remember, the journey to success is best enjoyed one sip at a time. Keep exploring trends, connecting with leaders, and scaling your brand. Until our glasses meet again, cheers to your continued success. And may your cups always runneth over with inspiration. We'll catch you in the next episode.